Monday, May 16, 2022, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 2:45 p.m. Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 o'clock p.m.
Ready to go? Okay, let's call the Board of Equalization to order, and we'll stand and say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall under the entrance of the county boardroom and is available for review for all citizens in attendance. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanesha.
Here.
Troy Lonsky.
Here.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Okay, we got number one, the consent agenda items. We just need the approval of the previous minutes from May 2nd of 2022.
Make a motion.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion by Janet, a second by Troy. You call roll, please, Joan?
Janet Gill.
Yes.
Larry Albanesha.
Yes.
Troy Lonsky.
Yes.
Robert Giese.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to two new business, 2:45, obviously. We got a public hearing for the purpose of a hearing of oral and written testimony regarding a review of parcel 220055777, determined tax exempt status change. We all have a copy of it in front of us. Give us your input, please.
That parcel.
And I forget your name.
Melissa.
Melissa, I'm sorry.
Yep. Yeah. It was owned by First Lutheran Church, and they sold it. So now it needs to go back on the tax roll. It was permitted exempt.
Okay. Pretty simple. I mean, it was owned by the church, not sold. Somebody's living in it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cut and dry. Okay.
It's effective and immediately for the tax.
Okay.
Any questions, Melissa, on it?
No.
Oh, pretty simple. Okay, and then we're going to go to B, the board to approve or not to approve. I'm sorry, I close the public hearing.
Action.
Huh? What's that, Joan?
Then we take action.
Okay, we're going to close the public hearing. Now we're going to move to B, the board to approve or not to approve the withholding of the taxes exemption on the real estate property for the parcel 220055777 to be effective for tax year of 2022. So, I just need a motion to approve or not to approve.
So, we basically would want to approve withholding tax exemption. Is that right?
Correct.
Approve taking the tax exemption off of that property. I'll make a motion to approve taking the tax exemption off of parcel 220055777, effective tax year 2022.
Okay. Okay, we got a motion by Janet and a second by Larry. Will you call roll, please?
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to C. We've got the requesting approval for clerical errors and tax list correction.
The first one for 220016704, it was in the wrong neighborhood. It's on the river, and it wasn't in the river neighborhood.
So I see the original was 14,280 and the tax adjustment is 24,960.
Yeah. So what's the new? So that is adding to 14,250 or is it?
Nope, the whole total would be the 24.
That's the total.
So it went up about 10,000.
Yep.
Okay.
And then the tax list correction, they're both for 220029148. The first one, they get homestead. We had them getting 100%, and they should have been getting 80%. So we had to change that. And then the second one, the state audited their homestead and took them back to 70%.
So say those parcel numbers again. I'm not sure that I have. Are you looking at?
Yeah. So it's 220029148.
Yep. That went from 100 to 80?
The first one went from 100 to 80, and then the state audited them, and they went from 80 to 70.
Okay, same parcel.
Same, yep.
Same parcel.
Yep.
Okay. So seven is worth that now.
Any questions?
That was state.
Do you know if this Lee paid his taxes?
We haven't heard anything yet.
Okay.
Nope.
Oh, so that's why there's two for the same property. I get it. So this is the right one right here.
Those two lots, 423. Are those on the river?
They're in the river neighborhood. He owns the lots in front of them. So it's on the river. It wasn't in neighborhood 104 before because it doesn't have river access. Gary bought all the lots and now he has river access. So it had to be moved to 104.
For a river for a lot, that seems pretty reasonable.
Maybe.
Okay, any other questions before we move on?
I'll make a motion to approve clerical and changes proposed by the assessor's office.
Good. And the tax list corrections.
And the tax list corrections.
Okay, so we got a motion from Bob and a second. Anyone? From Troy? Okay, can you call roll, please, Joe?
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, mail emergency business. Anything?
The other one was the pipeline.
Okay. That might be another board.
That'll be for the Board of Commissioners?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any public comment? Anybody from the public would like to speak? Okay. We are adjourned from the Board of Equalization.
This is Northern National. This is Dakota County Commissioners meeting. Can I help you?
I don't know what time it is, but
257.
Yes.
We are not to that part of the meeting yet. We're still in the planning and zoning, or not planning and zoning, Board of Equalization. You want to put on hold for that?
Is there a...
You can listen in. You can listen in. Yep. I'll just put this down. You can hear everything that's up to when you want to speak, okay?
You guys, if you want to grab a chair, I think there's some out around the corner.
I'm going to put you late. You will be able to hear everything.
If you want to add another row, you can.
Close to your item yet. You want to just stay on speaker.
Or if you want to stand, that's fine, too.
Listen in.
Okay. Or sit on the floor.
Bye. Oh, hang on, Evan. You're good. Hang it up. You sound speaker?
Okay. Whoops.
Okay. Can you hear us?
Yeah,
thank you.
All right, thank you. I'm sorry.
No.
And then
we haven't started the Board of Commissioners meeting yet. We will in a couple minutes. Right.
And I sent that down to Jones, but I don't think. Guys.
I'm going to have to do a little more research on that. Is that okay? Why just had everything on Friday?
All right, I have 3 o'clock, so we will call the Board of Commissioners meeting to order. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The first item on the agenda is the public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear comments about any item not on the agenda. And the chair has the discretion to limit the time of comment. Anything not on the agenda for public comment?
We need to call roll.
Yeah, I call.
Open.
Okay, right after we call the roll. Thank you, Joan.
Robert Gacy.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious. Troy Lonsby.
Here.
Okay, any public comment? No. All right. We'll move on to item 2, the consent agenda, which consists of the approval of the previous meeting minutes from May 2nd, approval of payroll claims and accounts payable. Troy and I went through those today, and everything is in order. Approval of the April 2022 officials reports, Register of Deeds, County Clerk, and Clerk of District Court. And item E, approval of Veteran Service Officer Quarterly Report for January to March 2022. Any questions on the consent agenda? If not?
So moved on the consent agenda items.
Moved by Scott.
I can second.
Seconded by Troy. Thank you. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert.
Yes. All right. Item 3, under new business, to open bids to provide and install new PBX telephone system for the Dakota County Courthouse. The board reserves the right to award a bid or reject any or all bids. And who has bids? This one is from Priority Communications and Solutions. As all of you may or may not know, I think the phone system we have in the courthouse was installed in 1941. And it's in serious need of a upgrade to the 21st century. So Priority Communications and Solutions has a bid of $47,938 even. This was dated March 15th. This one is from TriView Communications. Priority Communications and Solutions were out of Battle Creek, Nebraska. This is TriView, excuse me, Communications from Sergeant Bluff. This one has a total bid of $41,400.
Okay.
And these were put out, there was a, help me with the term.
RFP
put out for these. And these are the two, just the two we have. The two we have. So, the board, do you want to, do you want to award? Do you want to, look at them?
Who originally talked to you? Who talked to them? Joan?
Joan has been talking to them all along.
Okay.
They had a very large RFP, so there are... that they answer the contractor questions and the business references. I guess you have maybe look at that before you award if you want to. They should have been part of the bid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So should we take time then to look at these? Is that the preference of the board?
I mean, if we want to look at, you know, contracts and et cetera, I suppose.
Yeah, because there's a lot of documents with this one and about half as many with this one. So.
And I don't know if the systems are exactly the same, but, you know, features and benefits, if there's two different systems,
there might be
things that would be.
Okay, so we will. Does anybody want to volunteer to dive into the comparisons?
I'm still on the camera deal yet.
Okay.
So I'm still working on that situation.
Okay. I tell you what, I'll work with Joan because she knows.
Right.
She has the. She knows what we need to know as far as phones and where they're at and things like that. So
okay, so we'll just next meeting, we'll put it back on there to approve.
We'll bring that back. We'll bring that back. All right? Okay. All right. Item B under new business is a public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations relating to a request from Robert Malcolm for a zoning change from AG to business, agriculture to business, at 645A and 645B, Highway 35, for the purpose of adding an additional 0.417 acres to an outdoor storage facility. So I will open the public hearing. Is anyone here to speak in favor of the proposed zoning change? No? Anyone here in opposition to the zoning change? No? Anyone neutral? No? All right. Joan, do you have... we can move on to C then. All right, first of all, I'll close the hearing on the zoning change, and then we'll move on to C and maybe ask any questions the board may have. So item C is the board to approve a zoning change from ag to business for Robert Malcolm, 645A and 645B, Highway 35, for the purpose of adding an additional 0.417 acres to an outdoor storage facility. Zoning change comes with a favorable recommendation from Planning and Zoning, and Joe O'Neill is here. Joe, any comments on this from the P&Z?
No, he basically, the main property he has has already been changed. He ended up buying a little bit more where his leach field was running into the farm field next door, and he just wanted to add that to the other piece of property he had.
Okay.
So we have your blessing.
You got my blessing.
All right.
It comes with a favorable recommendation.
Okay.
P&Z.
Yeah. All right. So I'll make a motion to approve the change from ag to business at Robert Malcolm's numbers.
Okay.
That's my motion.
All right. Okay. Troy, is that you or Larry? Motion by Scott, seconded by Larry to approve the zoning change on 645A and 645B. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
All right. Item D, public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations relating to additional commercial pipeline regulations to the zoning ordinances under conditional uses and amending 601.6 permitted uses regarding pipelines. So first of all, I'll open the public hearing, and Joe, do you want to address initially anything from the P&Z standpoint? Joe Nils, our P&Z chair, director, thank you.
Planning and zoning is aware of two and maybe three carbon pipelines that are going to pass through the county. And to my our understanding, it was to hook up with the ethanol plants through the state and lower their greenhouse gases and get them in compliance with the federal government so they can take the ethanol to the coast and be able to sell it. The planning and zoning has a pipeline basically for a pipeline regulation basically for public utilities, and we wanted to get working on something that would incorporate these carbon pipelines coming through the state. So okay. we did a lot of work. Maybe we need more work, I don't know, but this is what we came up with so far.
Okay, all right.
So,
well, I think, so what we'll do, Joe, we'll open the hearing, we'll listen to, because I think there's some folks here from various groups that want to discuss this.
Yep.
And we'll go from there and,
sure.
And try to make what we got workable and
yeah, we don't
and amenable
have any,
to
any opposition to something that makes it workable for all parties and meets all legal standings.
So. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. So what I'll do then is open the if I have not open the hearing. So we'll start with anyone here to speak in favor of it. And what we'll do is Joan's going to we're going to use our light system maybe today. I know that there's a lot of people that want to discuss this either for and also against. So we'll start with the proponents of the pipeline, et cetera. So is anyone here to speak in favor? Let's start with that.
Are you referencing in favor of the zoning regulations?
Or yeah, yes.
If people have recommendations or amendments to the zoning regulations, you would like them in the opposition category?
We can do all that in the opposition part of it. So nobody really all right, we'll just move on then to let's go to yeah, so we'll address the regulations and et cetera we have with the P&Z. 3 minutes. So we'll move on to opposition, I guess, to the proposed zoning on the pipeline, and then we'll finish with neutral. Okay? So anyone then to speak in opposition to the or have suggestions, et cetera, for us in regard to the pipeline? Welcome. Name and address, maybe, for the record, please.
Okay. Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Jill Becker. I am a representative of Black Hills Energy. My address is 1731 Windhoek Drive, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68512. I'd like to provide some comments today regarding the proposed pipeline changes. Black Hills Energy is regulated as a natural gas utility by the Nebraska Public Service Commission, which would include things like rates, terms, and conditions of service. as well as the Nebraska Fire Marshal and the Department of Environment and Energy under Nebraska statutes. We believe that perhaps some of these proposed regulations would actually be in conflict to those and subject us as an organization to both federal and state statutes that would conflict with what the county is proposing. In the interest of time, I'm just going to hit some of the highlights of our comments, but would be happy to expand on them if you wish. And if you can't get your light to work, just tell me when you want me to stop talking.
You're good so far.
Okay, so one of the concerns that we have is that this could unlawfully encroach or cause redundancy in existing laws, and that some of these regulations would actually be preempted by other statutory laws. We are concerned that the definition of pipeline, which is one of the changes in Section A, would cover the transportation of all products as listed, but not include, but then does not include a pipe used to transport or store natural gas. So we're not sure if natural gas should be included within that definition or not. We are concerned about Section B, which covers pipeline construction, and that executed easements and final pipeline construction routes and design may not fully be obtained until state and county permitting is approved. So while the county may be asking us to submit things like design standards and some other submissions, we may not actually have those until we complete the entire project. It is unclear to us what due process rights are enumerated under the proposed hearing section. We're not sure whether there would be an evidentiary hearing or just submissions of information to the county board. Perhaps there may be situations where one pipeline would be necessary or make economic sense, which would put us in violation of Section 3. Section 6 talks about pipeline depth, and normally our pipelines are buried at about 3 feet, maybe 4 feet. And that's really to ensure that we have the ability to reasonably access those lines and can do maintenance on them. If the county would require us to do between no less than 6 feet and perhaps 8 feet in county right-of-way, that certainly is a concern to us from a safety perspective, because it would take us significantly more time to get to those pipes in case we have to do some repair. Section 7 deals with the location of pipeline and would require a setback of 1,320 feet. We think that's in conflict with the State Natural Gas Regulation Act, which requires us to provide safe and reliable service to customers, including residential customers. We're concerned that that setback requirement would actually preclude us from serving those customers by just being able to get close enough to them. Section 10, dealing with location of pipeline. Due to pipeline safety issues, providing the county with as-built maps may create some safety issues for us. And one of the greatest concerns is that if we provide a map, what happens when that map changes but someone else relies on an old map, not knowing that it's an old map? In addition, we have concerns about those becoming within the public domain, and frankly, how those might be used in really bad ways. I'll just put it that way. So we have some other concerns, but again, in the interest of time, I would be happy to take any questions. We would really encourage you not to advance these regulations and, in fact, are opposed to them. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for your input. All right. Next opponent, I guess, to the proposed regulations.
Are we working yet, Joan?
Okay.
I don't know. Is there
a...
I'm pushing
everything
on my phone.
Yeah. You can. Go ahead. A name and address, please, for the record.
My name is Ron Kaminsky. My office is based in Omaha, Nebraska, 5626 Sorenson Parkway. I'm with the Contractors Laborers Training Fund. We train workers across the state of Nebraska, South Dakota, and Western Iowa in a wide variety of curriculum, from OSHA 30 to pipeline safety. We have constructed tons of pipelines in the state of Nebraska, and we're opposed to more regulation. Due to the fact that we build these safely, there's a very, very important line of classes before an individual can even set foot on a pipeline route to construct a pipeline from picking up trash to welding the pipe. So we just think this is more of an attempt to derail projects instead of doing what's kind of common sense, building them safely, relying on Nebraska residents to build these safely like they have for years. So I would just like to say we're opposed to further regulation that's going to be used to dampen or kill this project.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Any questions from the board? No? All right.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Janet, are you using your phone?
I can.
Next, any comment opposed? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. Nick Bowdish. I'm the president and CEO of Siouxland Ethanol here in Jackson, Nebraska, local ethanol plant. And just wanted to address the board with a few thoughts. Siouxland Ethanol certainly enjoyed its 15 years of success, largely because our company's business plan was founded out of the economic development arm of this very commission. So we're 680 local owners, over 175,000 acres of locally produced corn gets processed by our plant every year. That's Dakota County and surrounding counties. And I would want the commission to know that we have made it public that we're in a business venture with Navigator, one of the two companies that's proposed to construct a pipeline through Dakota County. I'm not a pipeline expert. I won't pretend to be one this afternoon, but I can tell you that in over a year of working with Navigator and putting together our agreement, that I found Navigator to be much like a lot of our owners and suppliers in Dakota County, just good business people. So they have flagged three things in this ordinance that are of great concern to them, and therefore it is to Siouxland Ethanol. One is the fixed distance, that 1,320 feet, just picking an arbitrary number and not having a broader matrix of what defines a safe location and not.
That's from a residence, right?
It is.
Yeah.
You know, a second one is that burial depth. Federal standards require the 36 inches and putting this 6 to 8 feet. And the third one was really what would happen if the pipeline is abandoned someday and requiring a company to come in and rip it all out. So, you know, my ask of the commission is to kick this back to the zoning committee and let private businesses like Siouxland Ethanol and our technical experts interact with that committee. But at the end of the day, the commission should know that a successfully sited, safe CO2 pipeline in Dakota County does provide enormous potential for not only Siouxland Ethanol shareholders, but also all the corn farmers that sell us corn, and frankly, all the landowners that cash rent their ground to a farmer that raises corn and sells that corn to Siouxland Ethanol. Today, our biogenic CO2 is just returned to the atmosphere. The corn plant uses it to grow. Through our process, we return it to atmosphere. In the future, with a successful project like this, that becomes a revenue source for our company. So appreciate the efforts of the commission, and that would be my ask, is to kick it back to zoning.
What are the three things?
The fixed distance,
the burial depth, and then the section that addresses if the pipeline were abandoned, that it'd be ripped back out of the ground.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
Next. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Sam Wagner, Mid-American Energy. I guess my work address is 223 South Iowa Street, Sioux City, Iowa. First off, thanks for the opportunity to speak today. And I want to applaud my colleague from Black Hills Energy. We share many of the same concerns upon our first read of the ordinance. We've only had the ordinance or the proposed ordinance for just a few hours, so we're still kind of diving through it to get a great understanding of it. So I really can't improve upon what my colleague put out there, but we do agree with most of those conclusions. So we look forward to working with the county, with the P&Z, to refine the ordinance and see what we can do to make it amenable to all parties involved, especially us in the natural gas business, providing gas service to Dakota City and Dakota County.
All right. Yep. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Jonah, would we be able to listen to this guy on the phone? Also, no. Next on the... Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
Excellent.
Sheila Curiel, 2074 Highway 77. Dakota City, Nebraska.
The pipeline is going to go through my property to, I have property on both sides of Highway 77. I am in favor of the distancing of a quarter of a mile from a residence. I do not want anything any closer to my house than necessary. And the depth, we have a water, our water supply runs right along the highway. And I have a concern about that. There are farmers out there that I know are not on city water. They have a well. That's a concern of a leakage or anything getting into your water. There's all kinds of residents that live all along the highway there. And I think a quarter of a mile would save a lot of the people from having that, they'd have to go out around and stay far away from us. That's my main concern. And the depth, the further down, the better for me. If they can completely avoid me completely, I would be happy.
Have you talked to anybody yet?
I've been to the zoning.
No, with any of the
They've contacted me. Okay. They've contacted me. And I refuse to give them permission for a survey, but that don't mean anything. Found out that you can do a survey from drones. So they may have already done that already. And the regulations that the zoning committee has come up with, I think, are favorable. That would save a lot of the zigzagging that they want to do. If there would be a way of coming from the river somehow and staying by the river or cutting across where there's no farmland, and I rent my farmland. And yeah, they're going to take the top layer off of the topsoil off and do all that, but that doesn't guarantee that. I rent mine, and I've had a lot of people say that the crop may not be the same after all of this is done. And if that's true, who's going to rent property? Mm-hmm. Who's going to farm property if something like that? Or even the price of your home, the price of your land is going to depreciate when all that stuff goes through.
All right. I just want to know if you had any contact with them, and it sounds like you
have. Yeah, I have.
Okay.
I have on the phone. They've contacted me on the phone, and I've said, take me off your to-call list because I don't want to hear from you anymore.
All right.
And so, anyways, that's my concern.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Next, anyone? Yes, sir.
Time this afternoon.
You bet.
My name is Sam Renshaw, 5626 Swanson Parkway, Omaha, Nebraska. I'm the business manager for the Laborers Union out of Omaha. I cover the entire state of Nebraska and 9 counties in Iowa. Like the gentleman from Mid-America said, you know, we do propose the depth and the distance away, but I'm mainly here to talk about jobs. These jobs start out at $24 to $25 an hour. On top of that, you're looking at $625 for your health and welfare. Once you reach 500 hours, it's free health insurance for you and your entire family. And then for every hour you work, it's $5.10 goes into a pension. Omaha's only an hour and a half from here. We've got all kinds of jobs in Omaha. And especially with these pipelines coming in, we are going to be having a lot of job opportunities around the area. So that's all I had.
All right. Questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else opposed to the regulation? Yes. Welcome.
My name is Kylie Kratz. I'm a project manager with Summit Carbon. The business address is 2321 North Loop Drive, room 221, Ames, Iowa, 50010. We are just asking that the current ordinance gets kicked back to planning and zoning for updates. It's similar to a lot of things you've already heard here. The depth of cover, the setbacks, removing the pipe at the end of life. And various things like that you've kind of already heard. We have a very similar stance. But our main stance is if you could give businesses the opportunity to go into the planning and zoning meetings and speak bring their technical experts in and assist with the design of it.
Okay. I think those are advertised meetings, correct, Joe, the P&Z, Larry?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, just FYI, those are advertised meetings that we
third
have.
Third Tuesday of the month.
Third Tuesday of the month.
Yeah. I think we just found out too late.
Okay.
Is
right.
What it came down to.
All right.
We'd like a chance now.
So we'll see you again.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else or next for opposition to the proposed regulations? We have someone on the phone. I'm sorry, I don't know who you're with or where you're from, but if you want to address us, you can now.
Yes, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Adam Gall. I am an attorney with Northern Natural Gas in Omaha, Nebraska. And I would just like to echo some of the comments and concerns that were made by Black Hills Energy, that were made by Mid-American. In particular, I'd like to address some of the reasoning for our opposition to the amendment as it's written. Northern is a natural gas company as defined by the Natural Gas Act. We are regulated by the Federal Energy and Regulatory Commission, and they have exclusive jurisdiction over the transportation of natural gas and interstate commerce. To that extent, anything that impacts the safety, the construction of the facilities of interstate pipelines, those rules and regulations would be preempted by federal law. So, to the extent that the existing proposed amendment conflicts with any of the federal regulations that we are currently subject to, we would request that the amendment be either modified to specifically exempt federally regulated interstate pipelines or modified to be concurrent with the existing regulations.
So, Adam, what is not compliant with federal regulations as proposed?
The big ticket items are the ones that impact safety. The FINSA has exclusive jurisdiction to regulate the safety of the construction of the facilities of natural gas pipelines. The biggest concerns would be subsection 6 regarding pipeline depth and also in relation to the location of the pipeline. Those setback requirements would be in conflict with some of the approval process and regulations that we are subject to.
Okay. Do you know what those numbers are now, the setback and the depth? What?
Right.
Oh, we have it up there.
36 inches is for the depth. And then for the setback requirements, there's different standards as to classifications of the area of impact, things like that. And so depending on where it is, whether it's residential, whether it's rural, there's different safety requirements there, whether it's through odorization. But as far as setback requirements from residences, typically any project that we do has to go through federal approval. I can't give you a specific footage. It's again, dependent on where exactly it is and the type of classification of the area.
Okay. All right. Anything else? For us, Adam?
Thanks very much for your time.
Sure. All right. I think somebody was up. Yes. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm Monica Howard with Navigator CO2 Ventures. I run their regulatory and environmental permitting division. And I'm here to kind of echo the comments that have already been made. I personally have been permitting and building pipelines for 22 years. And while local regulations are something we absolutely respect and would like to collaborate on, there are some technical difficulties with it as written. and to kind of shed a little bit more light on why the setbacks and the depths are a problem. The depth of pipe, it's been mentioned, 36 inches is standard, and that's per PHMSA. Our company specifically is going 5 feet below for a number of management reasons, much attributed to the agricultural lands that we're crossing and the potential conflicts with irrigation systems and drain tiles. A main component of routing and siting pipelines is minimizing the collective impact. So when the deeper you go, and such as the 6 and the 8 foot, our construction right-of-way would have to be much larger to handle that unearthing to bury the pipeline. So the concerns about crop yields and, you know, the restoration and managing all of that soil is a big concern. So finding that balance of the right depth with the right construction impact, I think, is important, as well as the step back from residences. You can't really cut through much of the state or much of the county by maintaining a setback on both sides of your pipeline of that distance. And there are very regimented and regulated standards in PHMSA that address that and how you can mitigate for impacts in that. The setbacks would also be reflective of the size of the pipe and the pressures that it's operating under, such that a water line might have a different setback, you know, than a pipeline or natural gas from a hydrocarbon, from a hydrogen or ammonia hydrous line. So different factors play into that, what is an appropriate buffer and safety distance. And then there's a lot of ways to mitigate that should you not be able to maintain a setback. So offering more information in that regard. Indemnification is mentioned in there, and that's something we already do as a company. It's in every easement that we sign, so the landowners are absolutely indemnified already. And the abandonment was mentioned before as well. Again, going back to minimizing that collective impact, such that we would be, you know, re-unearthing those ag fields and re-impacting those crop yields for those durations of time. And not only that, but other impacts to natural resources, wetlands, water bodies, things of that nature. So having to remove it on a county-by-county basis instead of adhering to the federal standards that have been set causes some, you know, confusion and management difficulties. And then I recognize that there's a variance process, which makes sense to account for those site-by-site areas where that might need to change. But a little clarity was mentioned earlier, too. Some of those standards and things that are asked for up front maybe aren't available until later. So kind of right-sizing. On behalf of Navigator and our project, we're happy to collaborate and work with the technical resources of the Planning and Zoning Committee. Safety is of our utmost concern, number one, and that's not just lip service. So we wouldn't be coming in and proposing a line that wasn't in, didn't have safety as the number one issue at hand.
All right.
The removal of the pipeline being it would be abandoned someday?
Yes, sir.
It sounds as though nobody wants to take it back out.
It's rare to want to need to take it back out or to want to, and that's often on behalf of the landowner and others. There are times, you know, closer to sprawling development where that might be warranted if, you know, were to conflict with future utilities on the outskirts of the city.
Well, I'm not sure who it was, but Northern Natural, I think, took out the one of the original major pipelines going to the south part of the county and on into the 13th county.
Okay.
And we removed it now. Well, why would they take it out then? It's probably 50, 70 years old. I don't know.
Right. So I think, the pipeline industry, regardless of what commodity might be being moved in it, is an evolving industry. So I can speak to, having done this for 22 years myself in abandoning lines, there are some easements that was stipulated in when those easements were signed. So you're still bound by that easement, even if the federal standards don't match up with that. Because you can see kind of conflicting regulations as you
go forward. So it's up to the landowner to make certain it's in that easement.
It can be. It can be negotiated. But as a general matter of practice, there's been other times where we've been requested, you know, on other projects I've worked on, where we've gone to try to do it, and we can't get the federal permits to do it. It lacks the purpose and need of that, what is step number one in applying for a permit. So unless you can justify the need to take it out, you can't usually progress that permit review.
Even though there's an agreement in the easement?
That can happen, sir, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Oh, go ahead, Janet.
Did you say that the Navigator typically buries their pipe 5 feet?
That is our minimum pipe depth for this project,
and why
yes.
Is that? Is that the federal regulation for this particular?
No, the federal regulation is still under CFR 195, which is depending on where you're at and what geology you might be in, is 30 or 36 inches. So the 5 foot depth for us was a measure for addressing largely the agricultural lands that we're crossing through. So making sure we can get into an area where we're not conflicting with utilities and practices that would be on that farm. We're deep enough for any kind of deep tillage and, you know, looking forward down the line, that's a safety measure that we wanted to impose on ourselves.
Thank you. Thanks, Monica.
Thank you.
Anybody else on the proposed, in opposition to the proposed ordinance or regs? Neutral?
I just want to be in opposition to the pipeline. Is it my turn?
You might as well be under neutral.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think, well, anyway, yeah, Ron.
Okay, thank you.
A name and address, please.
Sure, Ron Hargett. I'm at 1621 Hickory Street, Dakota City, Nebraska. Well, when it comes to Summit, first off, according to a February 8th report in the Wall Street Journal, carbon capture projects fail 80% of the time. Carbon capture doesn't work. There's no economic use. Summit's real reason? Cash in on federal climate tax credits. Meanwhile, there are no Mr. Nice Guy. Summit is prepared to appeal to Iowa Utilities Board to seize any land not ceded through voluntary easement. Two of the three board members were appointed by Ratsetter's long-term friend, former Iowa Governor Terry Branstad. Branstad, we learned, was made a senior policy advisor. Using unproven technology, the total projected take for Summit Carbon, $7.2 billion over 12 years. Summit has very little experience with CO2 pipelines. Now, while Iowa law requires to hold informational meetings and obtain permits from the Iowa Utilities Board, Nebraska has no state regulations, which makes us, in a way, sitting ducks. Not only do we have no protections, we have no fund that would finance pipeline removal. Meanwhile, for the future, pipelines could detour to petrol companies. Summit teams up with oil companies could make $850 million total. Summit spokesman Jim Paroli said that typical ethanol plants could expect to receive between $12 million and $15 million annually from low-carbon rural programs. Summit executives said, "We want to keep all our options on the table." Last but not least, despite their low batting average, Summit is out to make a fortune. When it comes to Bruce Ratesetter, his cash cow has come home again, out to fool more folks on Summit's wild fishing expedition. Just one drawback, farmers and landowners, they know the whole thing is a hedge fund scam.
Anything else, Ron?
Nope.
Thank you.
Any questions? Any comment?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any comments? I guess neutral opposition to the regulations. Seeing none, I will close the hearing then on that. Before we move on, Joe, do you any comments going forward? From P&Z.
From what I'm hearing, it sounds like we need more input. Now, up to this date, it was strictly the planning and zoning trying to come up with the regulations. And we welcome anybody coming to the meetings, and we'll start tomorrow night discussing the future of the pipeline. So there will be a regulation at some point on the pipeline. Because it's a need. If they're going to come through our county, we need to have a regulation on it. But we welcome any input, and we'll start tomorrow night.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I'm just curious. I know they have these pipelines in Illinois, CO2 pipelines. I mean, were we able to get any information from some of those counties out there?
Did not. As far as we learned in the state of Nebraska, the state actually has no regulation on the pipeline, just specifically CO2 pipelines.
Okay.
And the federal government, to my knowledge, they told me you're better off going by county basis. So that's where we started from, and we tried to put something together.
Joe, would you tell them where and what time tomorrow is your P&Z?
The county road shop at
1863 North Bluff Road.
7:00 p.m. and the third Tuesday of every month, typically, we have a meeting. Now, 2 weeks before the meeting, it gets published in the Dakota County Star, which is the county's publication. So if you're looking for something,
to approve. Could you repeat the address for me, please?
1863 North Bluff Road, Hubbard, Nebraska. Yep.
What's the current setback on other pipelines?
I don't have that with me yet. I mean, it's not as far as the quarter mile we came up with.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
So anyway, the meeting, you have time and place, and you can certainly email Joe. Joe, what's your email?
J-O-E-O at COPCOSC.com.
Okay. So I think so. The board, I guess, my suggestion for the board is then to send this back to P&Z. I think with the input, unless the board has other.
So we're on the E right now. Is that correct?
We could be. No, we could be, but we don't have to. If we're going to go back to P&Z, we could just get B.
Okay. Without a doubt, I think it needs to go back to P&Z. No question about it.
Okay.
I mean, all the input that we had today here and what we've listened to, I think it's imperative that it goes back to P&Z. And I couldn't agree more with Joe. I know in the future, you know, we need to get some kind of regulation. But, yeah, this isn't something you just want to dive into. And
We don't want to create a regulation that's too restrictive on any certain entity. But we want it the more input we get, the better the regulation
absolutely
will be.
Yep. More input, the more knowledge you have, the better off you are. And I think that's and now I got a dumb question here. To move things forward and get things moving, is there any way, if needed, that you can call an extra meeting?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we can call a special meeting at any time.
Because every second Tuesday of the month or whatever we're talking about, if we need to have more meetings, you know, sooner, you know, I think we need to address that as well. So
right.
Something to keep in your back pocket for tomorrow night's meeting, just to see how it turns out. And if you needed one earlier, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I like that idea. That's what I like, Chair.
Okay. We'll move that. We'll send that back then to P&Z and Joe. Thank you for your work, and thank you to those here today. And if you want to contact Joe and have more input or help him with the regs or not, yes.
If they want to be on the agenda for the meeting, contact Jolene at the County Road Shop.
Okay.
And she can put them on the agenda. Otherwise, for tomorrow night, we have the pipeline discussion on the agenda already.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Joe.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you all for coming, those of you here for the pipeline issue. So we will skip E and move on then to item F. And that is Doug Tondreau, South Sioux City, to address the board regarding a possible solution to route city water to his rural residence. Doug, you are up, sir.
You don't mind. Can I address you from my seat?
If you want to, yeah.
The reason
reason being, I was on the agenda 2 weeks ago, and I had a medical emergency. I had a stroke that Monday morning, so I think Aaron Ross was here to let me know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the meds that I take, if I stand for prolonged periods of time.
Sure, sure.
So I apologize for that.
No, that's okay. What's your address, Doug?
It's 250-152nd Street.
Okay.
And for those of you that aren't familiar with that location, if you go down C Avenue, headed north, before you go over Highway 20, there's a gravel road that zigzags and then runs parallel on the south side to Highway 20. And there's three acreages in that, on that dead end of the gravel road. And the reason I'm bringing this up, trying to request that, I'm speaking for all three, also the other two landowners, which is Ralph Orr and Mike Block. Neither one of those guys can be here today. We have found out that there are surrounding properties that have city water and sewer service, locations that are further to the east, like the homes that are on Bennett Avenue on the other side of Highway 20, just to the north and east of us. And also, there's the residence that is on the south side, on the east side of C Avenue, about halfway between our gravel road and the new access road to the wastewater plant, which is about a half mile further south. And the city's response was, we didn't live in the city limits. It was the reason they couldn't provide the city water and city sewer. But talking to Ralph the other day, the two previous homeowners, Snyder was the previous owner of the acreage that we have, and I think the other one was Sudo, if I remember right. They were approached years ago by the city to ask if they wanted water and sewer service, and they, for some reason, two out of the three declined. So our problem there is we have terrible, and I know this is not a problem for you guys or the county, but our wells are all, we have terrible water in those locations. And we all three of us have had companies come out. I had Rob Tuttle come out with H2O for you, and we'd have to put in very expensive filtration systems that are very, very high maintenance. And there is water and sewer, as most you probably will know, that runs on the east side of C Avenue, in between that little gravel road where it takes the jaunt, and then runs north and south. So from that water line to my driveway is a little over 2,000 feet.
From C?
Yes.
From C.
And we're just asking if you guys could look into the possibility of getting a water line run down to our acreages. It's something that, like I said, I couldn't tell you how many years ago, Ralph just mentioned this to me the other day, that the city did approach him at one time and ask him if they wanted it. For some reason or another, two of the three homeowners turned it down. So it just doesn't, location-wise, with the surrounding properties that have water and sewer, it's just kind of a question mark for us as to why we don't have the same. And I know, too, maybe this is something that is going to be addressed down the line with the new casino location is right directly. It's just on the other side of C Avenue when that comes to being built. So maybe that's something that'd be addressed then. But I would appreciate when you guys have time looking into that and see if there's something you can do for us residents.
So I did hear, Doug, or I asked about rural water. And
that was going to be my question.
And I heard and I am sorry, I don't know what street. So north of you, it's across the highway, and I heard that South Sioux bought that rural water line. Is that correct?
I couldn't tell you that.
Okay. Is anybody familiar with that at all? And I guess that's neither here nor there. So my question was, how close was rural water? To you guys and
see, I think that the residents of on Bennett Avenue, I think that's city water.
That is city. Yeah. My son lives over there. Yeah.
Corey?
No, my son, Connor.
So I was thinking it was so over somewhere in here, Doug. I don't know why they have a rural water.
That's Bennett.
Yeah, that's Bennett.
A rural water line. But I had heard that the city bought that rural water line.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they did, but they put fire hydrants and everything in down there.
Yeah,
there's fire hydrants. They put sanitary sewer down in there, too.
The rural water office told me that.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I've also been told that I have a relative who's a banker, and she said, yeah, well, there's any truth to this or not, but where that arrow is right now, that plot of land right there is looking to be developed when the casino comes in.
Oh.
I think Ho-Chunk, to my recollection, I think Ho-Chunk purchased that and then across the road, obviously, to the west.
Did they?
See, Ho-Chunk, where it says works, is it?
Yeah, they bought
lower
that
left-hand corner, that's the property that Ho-Chunk bought.
Oh, down here.
Right there.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some activity out there, but that's still a long way from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and see the water line I'm talking about runs where the gravel road, it does a little wedge right there.
Uh-huh.
Right there is where the water is going to run. So the distance from that water line down to my driveway was Oscar, he measured it out, it was a little over 2,000 feet. So.
You know, in my opinion, and again, I don't, I know that there's a line, like you said, running on, south on C Avenue, and if there's any way humanly possible, and I don't know if it is for rural water, that'd be your ticket. If you can stay away from, the city water and sewer, and I know that eliminates septic tanks and et cetera,
yep.
And that makes life a little bit easier, yep. But it's expensive. I know my son is, as a single guy living on Bennett, sewer $125 a month, and he's by himself. And so it's very, very expensive.
That's more rural?
No, that's city.
City.
That's city.
That's water and sewer?
No, that's just sewer. Yeah, that's just sewer. So I know it's very, very expensive.
Yeah, I did talk to a gentleman that lives, I can't remember his name, just last week, who lives, I think, pretty close to where Meisner used to live. Jerry Meisner has a place there, and he said that he had water but not sewer because of the cost. So
he didn't
mention that. So
have you talked to Rural Water District? Or
They won't come there. They
said
they bought their line.
Who's, if you pan that up.
Oh, they bought the line. I see.
Pan that
picture up. They
bought
the rural water line.
Nope. Oh, I'm sorry. Down.
Down.
There we go. That first.
Right here. I think that's.
Yeah, that gentleman has city water and sewer. Because I stopped and asked him.
South Sioux or the coast?
Yeah, he said South Sioux.
Yeah, it's South Sioux.
And see, in the city of South Sioux, I mean, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus here, but the Lance has come back, and Oscars, and Bob Livermore, he was in the position before, also that we didn't live in city limits was the reason that we couldn't get city water and sewer. Well, if
where's their
how's the other guy?
If I don't live in city limits, how is that?
Yeah.
Well, I think you can get it, they just won't pay for it to get it to you. Because they took all that to West 9th, the Gulf Road out there. All that's in the city. But it ain't the city limits.
Okay, now, across the road is not tipped in, is that correct? Can anybody answer that?
I don't
think
so. No, I don't believe so. They don't.
Across where the Ho-Chunk,
across the bypass.
Where the casino's going to go.
They will tip this.
Okay, but they will tip that and that there as well?
It's this plot, isn't that where the track's going? And
yep.
They bought this.
And they bought that as well.
Did you say, Scott, that they bought that property that's on the...
I was told, and I can't don't know my source, I can't remember, that they were going to buy all four corners.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too.
So they were going to buy all four corners.
I think I saw a map to that.
And then they talked about, where the apartments are at, the Dakota Points of doing more apartments, through there. So my point is if that when that does happen, you have a lot more leverage when the TIF comes into play to be able to get...
It's a few years down the road from what I understand, because this location for casinos is going to be the last one.
It'll be the last one out of the four.
Three or four, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scott, I do know, I'm on a planning and zoning for South Sioux, and they're doing a blight study right now on a piece of ground where there is, so it will be TIFed. They're doing the process right now on that. And then also down C Avenue, to where the new water treatment plant is. That's an attic, and that's probably why they, so they probably have line running down there. That's probably why the guy on C Avenue is on.
Well, if you look at the blighted map, that house, it goes right down C Avenue, then it, and it takes in that house is what it does.
But you said they wouldn't bring city water to you, or?
No, the reason was I said
we're in
the
county. You're not city limits. Okay.
City limits.
Okay.
So.
Was there anybody out on Elgin's on the city water?
Pardon me?
Out on North Elgin, down by you?
Everybody on the one side.
Yeah, down there.
Everybody on the east side of Elgin from Highway 20, they're all in the country. And
down Gulf Road, too.
Yeah, down Gulf Road. They put water in 20 years ago, I think.
We put it in about 15, I think.
Well, when Milt Peters put that addition in initially, it was put in on the East Avenue.
Well, we're all rural in that addition. We're rural water with septic. But I think
no, everybody
like,
else down that way was,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they was, yeah. And then they took them off and put them on city. Right. Yeah. And right after I moved in, they did that.
Well, Doug,
anyways, so again, let's. I appreciate
anything
you
guys could, look into, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good.
All right. Behave. Behave.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Okay, next item on the agenda is G, to review and award bids for the following road projects: Blyberg Road paving, Homer, Old Highway 20 overlay, South Sioux City, Elgin Avenue overlay, South Sioux City, Lake Avenue North overlay, South Sioux City, Lake Avenue South overlay, South Sioux City, Gateway Drive East West overlay, South Sioux City, and Attacad Drive Joint Repair, South Sioux City. Jolene, do you want to talk about these?
I guess we put these all off the bid, and
you only had Franks do two. There's
right.
Two bids, yes. From Franks. And
two bids from Frank, one from Steve Harris, one from T.R. Harris, and the rest were Barclay Asphalt and Knife River. Knife River had the low bid on all of them except for the Attacad Drive Joint Repair, which Barclay Asphalt had the low bid for. The gentleman with Knife River said that they had a plant, asphalt plant, close to these locations and this summer, and that's why they were able to provide low bids on theirs.
Okay. Larry, you can answer this question. I was up and down on Gateway Drive East and West overlay. Do you think that needs an overlay, or you think it could just be, there's like, what I noticed was there's probably about four or five spots.
So 12.
There's 12? Okay. Well, from up above, I was seeing whatever. It doesn't matter. But do you think that those spots could be cut out and repaired and not have an overlay on them?
I think probably. If we just did it, and then they took, like I said, that Stockton Record Service, they pulled out of there. They're not active there like they were,
I just seen them down in there the other night, but I don't know what they're doing.
They ain't got no, the rigs aren't there, very few things around there. And I saw them someplace else.
The road's in pretty decent shape. Yeah, like I said, there's a few spots. Oh. There's that one on the edge. Yeah. On the south side, that's busted up pretty good. But
they have to be fixed before it was ever overlaid.
Yeah.
The asphalt's only as good as what it's laid on.
Otherwise, it's a pretty decent road.
Yeah. The only thing is, we're going to have to watch the traffic down the road, because there is that refrigeration company that runs trucks in and out of there with. Well, I don't know for sure what they really do, but they got a lot of pipe, stainless pipe around there for ammonia. I think they use it out to beef. And then they got some framework, like platforms, galvanized, that would go into a plant. There was a truckload of it there the other day. And it's just something that's probably going to have to be. Those things should be fixed, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
they need fixed.
They're only going to get worse.
Yeah, I think once we fix it, can we maybe or get out there and take a look at it?
My thoughts were to get it thick enough to where the truck's going to destroy it, But we just kind of, I think that's probably the right way to go. Just fix those areas and do the right kind of job. But they may have to excavate 2 foot down to get the clay out of there. And
Can that be cheaper than what?
Probably still want to spend 25,000, I would imagine, to
get that right.
Maybe not. Maybe.
And time frame, Jolene, again on these.
Start date on all of them was September 1st of this year. They could get going on the low bid ones.
What about Steve Harris? What, does he have a hold up?
Next year.
Yeah.
But Knife River could do it this year?
No.
The Wyburn Road?
Yeah.
No. No, Steve, no, it was September, wasn't it? I don't have that one in front of me, but I think it was next year.
May of 2023.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
Yes, May of 2023.
For what, Troy?
For Harris. If Harris is, we're going to do Blyberg. That would be their start date.
Oh, September of 2023?
And Knife River could
be a little cheaper, but I mean.
A year from now.
It's not going to be equal. Paving don't. Asphalt don't compare to paving.
No.
Knife River would be concrete, though, Jolene, correct?
Oh, did they say concrete?
That's what's the.
I was thinking.
PCC?
I would think of half concrete.
Knife River?
Huh?
Knife River does concrete.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't normally, but Knife River usually goes back on.
It must be on the bids.
Do you want to go? I think they're just laying iron.
I just got a feeling that they should have. I guess we all should have been more specific that it had to be PCC.
Well, it's
so staging. Well, mm-hmm. It's not the same. Tear it up and grind the edges off. The truck, the traffic going into that place. That place probably got more traffic than.
Well, and my input is on this.
8-inch paving is what it's listed as.
They don't say which paving.
No. I guess. I don't know how soon you guys want to get this done, if you want to have it done. If Knife River's able to do that this year, you know, for $3,200 less. But my theory is on this, and you guys can sit there and say it's $3,200, but I'm going to tell you what Steve Harris has done for the county, you know, with things down there and some of the paving he's done. If we can wait till May of 2023, realistically, you know, with Knife River getting a lot of the other jobs, whatever we approve, I would say, you know, let Steve Harris have that, you know, in May, if you guys want to wait till May, or if you want to have it done this fall from Knife River and save $3,200. I know that sounds silly, but.
Troy, you use that a lot. What do you think?
I think especially concrete's the way to go, so I think. If we did it, Harris would be the way.
Portland.
What they do for concrete? Harris?
Yeah.
That's all they do.
Post tonight? Okay.
So Knife River is not concrete? Is that what this is? Is that why?
We don't know for sure.
We don't know. They could have bid it asphalt for all
it. Could have been because that's paving, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
It should have been.
I hate to assume, but I would think that it would be, you know, concrete, maybe a contractor, outside source. I don't know. But I just think that with Harris, you know, the $3,200, you know the work that guy does.
Yeah, but you got to keep in mind, low bid's low bid, too.
Yeah, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
Maybe he could match low bid and we can give
him. Well, I mean, it doesn't at the end of the day. I mean, you still want good work done, right?
Well, I'm not going to say that Knife River can't do good work.
Is there somebody you can call?
Didn't we purchase the maintainer not very long ago and paid more money for the one than the other one? Is that true or false?
That was 4 years ago.
No, bullshit.
Features and benefits. Horsepowers.
Yeah. They don't matter to me one way or the other.
Yeah, it was $13,000 cheaper than the deer was. Then it had some extras, too.
Did we not have, was there any, oh, Jolene's not here, because there was a 1 and 6 year projects. Were any of those paving, or are these the one that were on the 1 and 6?
Well, I don't know what these are on. They're just on this piece of paper.
Yeah. Well, like, for instance, Hubbard, you know, I know that last month Trudy was here about the Hubbard. paving the Hubbard Road, whatever it's called. Am I having a
I don't think that was that on the 1-6 M Avenue.
It is.
It always
sure it
always
was.
On there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
It is.
Always on there.
And you talked about putting that out for bid, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm gonna wait till Scott gets back.
I guess all like seven of the or six of the seven of these are from South Sioux. I'd like to see some. I like the idea of the Homer Project because I like to see our rural counties, our rural residents see some of the benefit. Yeah.
It's peanuts compared to Emma Avenue, though.
What is?
Homer.
Oh, Homer's big. Yeah, but it's, like I said, it's a...
That wouldn't even pay the interest on the $1 million right here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think the old highway is the 20. Isn't that the other thing that Lance came to our meeting last month for?
Yeah, I'm not for sure.
But this is just late to the airport. That's our part of that.
But the thing about it is, if we do this, if we do it the way we got it set up from Lake Avenue West,
mm-hmm.
there's a portion of that that get tore out if it would ever move forward. The city's, you know, we're doing the 3-lane road.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They wouldn't just stop at the line there at the lake?
No, I really... What?
The city.
Well, the plan is to go from Lake Avenue to Old Highway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
20.
That grant that they're working on.
Right, that grant. There's two different phases of that thing, you know.
Yeah.
The first, I think the way I understood it, the first is to get out there past that commercial development area. Then there's another. Then the other one that goes on out to the highway, past the cemetery and the junkyards and stuff.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
And then, but if we do what we're going to do, we're going to do a portion of what they're going to tear out, you know, actually. So we got to take that into consideration and make a final decision on that.
Well, they might not even proceed at all.
Or get the grant.
Or, you know, by the...
Well,
or get the grant.
Yeah, we don't know, but it's kind of a shame to waste the money.
We hold up on that until.
So, Scott, I was waiting for you to come back. My feelings going forward on all these projects is, you know, we talked about ARPA, we talked about the budget, and things like that. ARPA is supposed to be used for a one-time, hopefully one-time. Thing or improvements at the courthouse or wherever the case may be. I think my opinion is that we move forward with all these projects here, and we'll figure out where that comes from. Working on the budget here coming up, whether it comes from ARPA, it comes from budget, and also bid M Avenue. Because that's a one-time thing that we're never gonna. I mean, like you said, Larry, that's a lot of money. That's a big ticket item, and we're just not gonna. You know, that's a whole year's road project right there. If we could ever budget for that, I don't know if we could or not. But I think going forward, the plan we could do is approve all these, work on the budget. We'll see where it comes from, and in the meantime, bid out M Avenue. I'll just throw that out there.
Okay, so...
Knife River, all their material is asphalt. All bid is for asphalt, so...
I'm shocked.
The Harris would be...
I mean, I am. I'm shocked it's that much money.
Well, it's not real bad.
I mean, I didn't know there was that close of a... between concrete and asphalt, I guess.
No, oil's expensive.
Well, I'm aware.
So I think we can do it. I know we can do it. We can either, you know, between budget and ARPA, we can do these projects. And then also M Avenue. I mean, I just, to me, M Avenue is is something, yeah. Scott, you've been talking about it for a long time. 18 was the last engineer study on it. It was 700,000 then. It's now 9. And I don't know, Jolene, maybe it would be more or possible.
Is there a set of plans with a profile? Do we have a complete set of plans as what to be built there and a profile of the lay of the land and what it's going to look like when the paving's done?
They actually did a video display of what it would be like driving down it that showed the elevations, so I know that there's something somewhere. Because when it was looked at, when they did the engineering on it originally, they actually did a video simulation of what it would be.
They did that, but did they submit it to the state for approval?
I don't know that.
And did it show on that video, did it show the cut where they go over the hill there and get the hill down?
By the cemetery and the retaining wall.
I heard that it was an 8-foot cut, and it's on the retaining wall, you're saying?
Yeah, they were talking about retaining walls.
An 8-foot cut, whose driveway is that at? Was going to be one of those two people there, and I'd be very unhappy if I was the one that got the cut.
King Green and Stewart's, yeah.
Well, anyway, there are plans out there. Engineering has been done on it.
We spent $25,000, but I've never seen a drawing on it.
But if
I guess I hear what you're saying, Bob. When the old Highway 20, I guess I'm a little hesitant about that one in light of what we have on our agenda coming up here somewhere. Maybe it's on there.
Yeah, it's on there.
Yeah. On the outside of that one, I think we should hold off until we know what we're what.
Oh, on that.
We'd wind up spending about 80. You're making reference to the city.
I mean that grant versus this.
Oh, our commitment. You mean?
Yeah.
Or not commitment.
Well, that's kind of the question: is are we going to move forward on the grant? And like the million-dollar question is it going to go through?
Well, we can do everything except that. And if we don't move forward, then can't we come back and approve that, Kim? The old Highway 20.
Well, this is all September, right? September 1st. This is all September, so mm-hmm. I mean,
you've got time.
What's that?
You've got time.
Yeah.
Or what about that gateway? When you guys just said it would be just to fill.
Checking to get in the past.
Granted, we have the money, but I guess I think the reality is we always need to be budget conscious, mm-hmm. whether we got the money or not. You know, mm-hmm. is this the right price?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you got it doesn't mean you pay up for it.
That's what's nice about this spending this money. If it was going to generate a source of revenue for the county and tax dollars, I mean, there's things here I can go along with, but we're losing $100,000 a year over on M Avenue because the state took about 1,000 acres out of production when they built the place. So then we'd lose $100,000 there in taxes. If we go west on 20, we're going to lose any tax revenue coming from there because that'll all be tifted. So it won't be no income generated there. I guess you go out and pave road out through wherever, you're not really improving, are you? Development-wise,
it's just the people, they might stop and buy some food and some gas and spend some money in the community.
Well, in 20, you're not going to, it makes no difference to me one way or the other, however we do, if we hold off or wait for them, that you're not going to lose the money, you're just not going to regain whatever happens out there.
True.
Because we still get the
money. It's got to get fixed. That's in a situation there where it has to get fixed. If it don't get fixed today, or next year or whatever, it's just going to get to the point where there won't be nothing there.
It'll be five years from scratch.
So the best we can do is go in and mill it, overlay it, and then we got something for hopefully another 20 years.
Which one is that? Which one?
West 20.
So here we are back to, and I understand where Jenna's coming from. Do we spend that money? If we do move forward with the city, but I have a feeling, I don't know what everybody's thought process is, and that we'll find out here shortly. But we have till September 1st.
To table this all until next meeting.
Well, not the, I wouldn't, but we've got to be careful. they got to know.
Right.
So the contractor's got to know so they can make certain they got enough oil to do the project.
Meaning that even if we approved Old Highway 20 for the time being and then investigate, I guess I don't know what everybody's thought process is. Do you want to pay $1.2 million to possibly go with the city and go all the way out there? You know, I don't know what everybody's thought process is. I mean,
is the $1.2 million a concrete number or an estimated number?
That's a concrete number. They got a bid.
104. I thought it was. Well, we wind up coughing up 1.4.
Is it 4? Because was it 14 million?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what we could do is just.
A million. Okay, pull out Old Highway 22 for now.
If what we could do is postpone or just pause this item and go to what is the number for the South Sioux? That's item D. We could do that. Then we'll know under miscellaneous. That's item D. So do you want to do that? You want to postpone this? We'll go to D. Then we'll know our commitment to South Sioux and move forward?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. All right, so we'll just postpone this, come right back to it, but let's go then to item D under miscellaneous, and that is board to discuss and approve or not approve a letter of commitment in support of the South Sioux City federal grant application to Old Highway 20, which will include the county portion from Lake Avenue to Highway 20. So that is 12 million. Was it 1% or excuse me, 10% or a million?
I thought I got 14 million.
Is it 14 now? 14.
Joan will be able to pull it up.
I think we got an extra second.
It's 14, but I think our max was a million, right?
Yeah. Well, this is the deal. It was 80%.
Federal.
Our proportion was like 8 million, and the city was 3 point something. I don't know if she can pull it up to see.
What about the...
They're paying 10 and we're paying 10.
Well, it really doesn't matter, 12 or 14. Our portion is, let's just say it's $1 million, okay?
Yeah.
Is the board, is anybody in favor of approving the grant application to partner with South Sioux City on that project? I guess that's really basically what it boils down to. And if we're not, we're certainly in support of it.
That's my opinion.
Whether it's
I just don't want to spend $1.2 million or four. Right.
So that is that a motion or is so that a?
Could you? Here's the email from Lance with the. So it's two sections?
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is 8, close, pretty much 9. That one's 3, 4.
That's the city part.
So 12. I thought it went up to 14 for some reason.
I did too. Lance told me 14 million at the Simco meeting, but okay. I think you're right. I got that. I don't think it didn't come up to that, so I don't know what he was doing.
A new pricing from Keith Gilmore, and this was sent on 5/4, and that was after our 5/2 meeting.
What's the other one? The other spreadsheet, was that something else?
It's two parts.
Oh, there's two parts.
Daniels Lane to Lake Avenue was the close to 9. And then, okay, West 29th to Lake. Is that all in city limits?
Yeah, from right. Lake Avenue to...
From Daniels,
yes,
Daniels to Lake. Mm-hmm. So this one is... So could...
See, Daniels Lane is where... Pretty close to where...
Oh.
That's where eight. That's where it ends. That's where they've already done the three lanes. So from Daniels Lane to Lake Avenue is the city, mm-hmm. and the city from Lake Avenue to the airport is the county.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the county's proportion right there,
yeah.
8,100,000.
And our estimate on our portion was 286. from Lake to the airport.
So my question is that 10% that we're going to pay of the 8 million or 8.1?
That's what I was thinking. Are we
800,000? Are we talking 800,000?
Yeah, I thought it was 10% up to a million.
Okay.
Or
they
you know.
Split it even with us.
Evenly. So.
And that would, the way I took it, the grant.
And that's not.
For the amount we'd have, the 20%, we'd pay 10 and they'd pay 10. Well, if the grant's for 12 million bucks or 10 million, we're going to cough up. You know,
and that also is if they would get the grant, and they're not guaranteed that they'd get that. So, you know, we wouldn't know.
But that. Pretty good.
And didn't they say that we could say our maximum is? And I was looking at that from our packet last week, these tax increment financing. We have at least one that's supposed to be rolling off here in a year or two. Maybe we make it contingent upon these two properties actually coming off of the TIF.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like they don't ever come off.
Well, and that's not the city's fault. They don't TIF. I mean, the property owner is the one that would renew.
The city is the one that grants those extensions.
Correct.
They grant the
extensions. So I guess the question is then for the board is there a commitment or does anybody want to make a motion to support the financially that project? If not, we'll send a letter of support and move on.
I see, and then just go.
And then go right back,
go back to our project list.
Just one thing I need to ask is the 10%, $800,000, or is it? Because I mean, realistically, if you're talking 300,000 versus 800,000, if you could get three lanes of concrete, mm-hmm. it's a no-brainer for an extra $500,000 versus an overlay of blacktop. So that's my question.
Is it 10% of that?
Exactly.
11,534,593. So 11,535 is what this is basically. So 10%.
Is engineering in that cost?
Yeah.
Preliminary and design engineering is right in there. The 558.
Well,
bottom.
You can make a motion
bottom,
if you want.
Right there. And construction engineering project.
I just compared to blacktop and three lanes and having, you know, like I said, we talked about the people that walk out there. You know what? I'll make a motion to see where it goes to, I guess.
Letter of support.
Oh, no, he's talking financially.
The financially. I'm just going to make it and see where
letter
it goes. Letter of commitment. I'm going to make a motion. If it goes nowhere, we'll go back to our wherever we're at. On G, so that's my motion.
Okay, is there a second? All righty. There is none, so I'll make a motion. We'll send a letter of support to the city of South Sioux City on that project. I guess they want a letter of support.
Do we have any way of knowing?
Or maybe not.
I think they wanted a letter of support, and
well, I think this letter was for commitment. So maybe we'll just
forget about it.
I'll take back my motion on that. So anyway, so Scott's motion did not carry, and we are back to
G.
G. Thank you. So.
Okay.
Back to our road project.
That answered a lot of questions, didn't it? Right?
I think we cleared a little bit.
Yeah, I think we cleared the air.
Right.
Okay, so
if we didn't do that portion, there where the industrial park's going to be, you know, that could be $86,000 would do that overlay from Lake Avenue west to where that industrial land quits. Get, you know, I mean, I guess I'm trying to say is $86,000 wouldn't bother me too much to hand that to the city and see this is what we would have spent You know, we wouldn't do it now. We wouldn't overlay it. We just wait for them to go in there and do the third lane, three lane, and then we'd give them $86,000 because we wouldn't do nothing with it right now until after the fact.
So give them the portion that we would have spent.
To me, personally, they'll figure out their own way if they want it done that bad.
I think you're right.
I'm not even sure. I thought they weren't even going to apply if we didn't come in.
I don't know. They'll figure their own way out is what I figured. So I wouldn't even offer nothing, do nothing.
I thought they would change the project. If they don't get a letter of commitment from us, they're going to change the project.
Yeah, I didn't think there was anything for them if we didn't come in.
And I don't know what how much we would get off of that TIF that's coming up. But some of these rolling off.
Yeah, we use that for something else. Just pay the interest on them, haven't
it? So can we, on G, are we going to...
Well, I made the suggestion or motion, okay. I guess.
So you made the motion, but I just want to clarify a few things real quick.
Okay.
Blyberg Road is going to go to Steve Harris because of Via Concrete versus right. Blacktop.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
So on the motion that you made, Bob, it would be Steve Harris. Old Highway 20 would be Knife River for 286, 361, 41. Elgin overlay is 102,434.68. Lake Avenue North overlay would be Knife River as well, 114,575.51. And then you got South overlay on Lake Avenue is 5268.32. Okay, and then Gateway Drive East and West, we want to get bids. Do we got to get bids for repair of the spots? Okay,
but we better spell it out. I'd like to get with you.
Okay. So instead of approving that for a complete overlay, we're just going to go back to getting bids on repairing the bad spots, the 10, 12 spots. Okay, mm-hmm. And then lastly, you have Attic Head Drive, the joint repair. You're going to go with Barkley Asphalt for $22,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll second that.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I'm still confused on Old Highway 20. I mean, he mentioned giving them part of this towards the project.
What are you doing on Old Highway 20 for approving that whole project?
Right.
Yeah, that's where I'm confused. I drove down Old Highway 20. It didn't seem that bad to me. But maybe it is worse than
Well, it is. Just talk to the guy that knows about the roads, and Jolene could verify that, too. That needs attention, right? It just continues to get worse.
It does. And it's surprising that it's gotten, in the last 2 years, how bad it's. I think that the overlay, the last overlay is moose sliding on what's under it. Because it's actually got potholes in it. It's got to get milled and get fixed.
So that's from Lake to the airport, Janet.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole amount is. But my thoughts were, well, why spend the 86 or whatever it costs to get it from Lake Avenue to the end of the commercial property that the city wants to do something with?
Right.
You throw that 86,000 away, have them come in and tear it out in 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too.
I don't know what the answer is, but
well, that may never
go forward. But we got time to think about it too. So we got until September. A lot can happen between now and September where the city's involved.
But if you award it, that means you can't really pull this right out from under. But I guess on that one, I think there's enough questions that but everything else I'm.
Well, we know how much it costs. I just think we just award it and move on. And the city's going to do what the city's going to do anyway, so.
But is that just for our part of it?
286?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Lake.
From
Lake
to the airport.
Up to the airport, back to Highway 20.
And then we'll figure out whether it's in the 2022-3 budget. Our 2023 budget, roads, ARPA, we can figure out where the money's coming from. And then also, I'll keep that separate. So did anybody second that?
You motioned,
I seconded.
You second? Okay. Any more discussion?
Other than we should be looking at down there going to A1.
Dixon Path.
That short stretch there, that 400 or 600 foot really needs to get bid on.
We'll get with Jolene and we'll get a bid on that.
Okay,
maybe
so
maybe we'll do it at the same time we put this other thing out for bid with a patchwork.
Yeah.
Would you move those bad spots? And I looked at it, and it's not that bad, but it should go. We need to talk about that. It don't seem to be soft, you know, underneath. It just tattered it in the past. So many times they used a whole bunch of little things there, you know. And it's just,
we'll do that this week, and then we can get it bid out. It's sent to the paper on Monday to start.
Yeah, let's do that. Because, I mean, it's, the rest of it's all pretty good, you know. But anyway.
All right, so we have a motion and a second on those projects.
What's the motion, Bob?
Is to proceed with all of these.
All seven?
All seven?
No.
No.
No. Not Gateway.
Six, and then Gateway, we're going to get bids on patching.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Call the roll, please.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Nope. I don't think we should do Highway 20, but okay. The other six I'm fine. The other ones
let
I'm fine.
Let me take you out there and drive that thing, and I'll show you how rough.
Okay. But I just don't like the thought of doing it and then tearing it up. That just doesn't
well, I don't like it either.
Sit well with me.
Okay.
I can negotiate that with if ever say, hey, how much you give us a break here?
All right. Moving right along. Item H is approve resolution 22C010 for the purpose of pledged securities release from Bank First. This is from Don. Just a formality, Don.
Yeah, this is just a formality to approve what we've done. I've also have a report as far as pledged collateral that we've done, pledged securities, and you should have those in your packet that because of the taxes, there was $2,500,000 and $3,000,000 for a total of $7,500,000 that we had in pledged securities. That's just an FYI.
Okay.
Are these all like treasury bonds or something, or what are they?
No, what it's just the amount that goes over when all of our total gets over $250,000 FDIC that they insure. It's just so we have additional insurance to cover our property tax income and plus that we get.
All right, I'll make a motion to approve the resolution 22C010.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. Item I is board discussion and approval of insurance claim settlement in the amount of $350,000 pursuant to 84-713 settlement agreement retained for public disclosure upon request as required by law. NIRMA file Auto Dakota 033563 claimant Janet Janice and Kenneth Paulson February 26, 2021. Kim or Joan, Kim, any comments on that?
Just a requirement through NIRMA. They were able to settle that. It was a pursuit, and so there's strict liability, really no option other than to pay it.
Okay.
What happened?
County, city, chasing a female who stole a vehicle from Come and Go, and she had another vehicle, this Janice Paulson was driving, and she was injured.
So we are required to disclose that, and
make a motion to approve.
So both parties were liable?
City and county.
Okay.
Yep. Every chase involved a lot of officers.
All right. Motion by Scott.
Second.
Seconded by Troy to approve. Call the roll, please.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to item four, miscellaneous, Jolene Goebbels, Highway Superintendent, Road Report.
We had 364 hours maintaining roads, 3.25 hours of overtime, 40.5 hours of tree removal, 71 hours on Weigel Creek, cleaning up the ditches and building up the road there, 2.5 hours picking up garbage, 76 hours hauling gravel. They hauled 1,362.71 tons of 1.5-inch crushed concrete, spent 12.5 hours on sign repair, and we had grading concerns on 155th Street and Gateway Drive.
Okay. So, Jolene, could you get a bid on M Avenue for us? Put that out for bid.
I'll have to get with Joan on that. She has a lot of the information that was put together a couple years ago.
Okay.
Was there a proposal form put together by the firm?
Oh, that was 3 years ago. I can't.
Actually, it was four.
Ago, 4 years
it was
ago.
In 18. I saw the last engineering estimate on it. This is from 2018. We have a 22 upgraded price
from
whoever that was.
Whoever they were.
Who was it, Joan? I don't know who it was. Anyway, we have a, yeah. So
well, I'll get a hold of them and.
Okay.
Probably
want to
start putting stuff
up
for bid on that.
Yeah. Anything else for Jolene while we got her?
They're about going to have to put that out for bids themselves. It's going to be a pretty complex bid.
Yeah, I'll have to contact the engineers and have them start moving forward with that.
So as you look at these.
Well, you're going to be here for the study, right? Talk about the study, right?
No.
Okay. Jana, did you have a question?
So, these are, Joan, you're kind of using this information to put together like the budget and the capital project. I mean, it's going to go a combination of reasons why we need to kind of narrow this down.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, do we decide if we really can or can't afford all of them? I guess that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty complex when you put together all of them.
Yeah, lots of moving pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, anything else for Jolene?
You guys want to send out the notice of award for them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On the other ones, yeah. Thank you. Okay, item B is jail report. Do we have a jail report? Yes, we do. Scott, are you in charge of that?
I'm going to be in charge of it, but I'm just going to let you know just the main numbers, obviously.
Okay.
Is
thank you.
The federal income. The federal is $520,603. Obviously, that's with the marshals and the ICE. And then the operating expense was $66.74 for the month of April. So with that said, the jail spent $211 and some change for the month of April. The jail is at 76% of its total estimated yearly budget, or 7% under, for fiscal year. The jail was at 78 of the total estimated yearly budget in April of 2021. And they spent $28,239 less than allotted for April, which is 12% under the budget for the month.
Thank you. Any questions on the jail report?
If you do, I don't have no answers.
We'll move on. Item C is the board to discuss and approve to award the courthouse camera replacement project.
Okay,
this is back.
You put me in charge of that. So
right.
I give everything to Mr. Coinsen, and he put together a list, and I got it on Friday, and I got it to him later than what I wanted to, and that was my bad. But what I'll do is he give me a list of questions for each company. Okay, so once I get that resolved for the next meeting, and then I'll be able to give a recommendation on what, because he even talked to Jesse and said that he thought one of them wasn't, didn't have the, you know,
okay,
comparing apples to apples with everything. So I did get the list, so I will have it for the next meeting, and then we'll be able to make a decision. I'll give you a recommendation.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. D, we did. E is board discussion and approval to do a traffic study for the purpose of lowering speed limit on Old Highway 20 from Martin Airfield to Elgin Avenue.
So I asked Joan to put this on here X amount of years ago. I think when people come from the west going east and they turn at Martin's Airfield and it's gangbuster speed, you know, 60, 65 through there, you got those businesses, you got CNH, you got Guard, you got Stapleton, and once they get to Elgin Avenue, which runs north and south, and it's at a 45, you know, there was two wrecks there in the last week within 24 hours. Surprised nobody got killed by the looks of both vehicles. And but anyways, over the 20 year out there, there's been a lot of accidents on that road. I think a lot of it's speed. And if you're coming from the other way, obviously, if you're coming from the city going out, it used to be 25, and they changed it to 35. And then once you get out by the Knights of Columbus, it changes to 40. And then once you get past Lake Avenue, you know, then it turns to 55. But it's, I would like to do a study, and I think that Jolene, I don't know your input on it, a lot of the business people are, especially when they see all the trucks out there, you know, they're just like, you know, we need to slow traffic down. So, and I don't know what a study costs in today's world.
Generally around 2,000.
Okay.
We were thinking about doing one simply because if you come off Highway 20 onto Old 20, there's no speed limit sign there.
Yeah,
so you get way down to like.
There's a good curve right there, and it's just the way it wraps around and then it straightens out. And like I said, it's at that 45 going towards the city. I just think it's a good idea to have a study done and get some recommendations from the state people, what they think. And it's pretty evident. I mean, you look at the wrecks that have been out there, and I think they would agree probably. But
how do we go about that, Scott? How does that, or Jolene? How does that work?
Contact an engineering firm, and they would do the traffic study for us.
Okay.
Then we go out there and set, correct?
And then, of course, the layout of the road,
yep,
all of that stuff, yeah. So I have several engineering firms going to be in the area here in the next little bit to look at some several other projects. I can contact one of them easy cool. enough. And
so what is it now from Highway 20 to Elgin Avenue?
There's no speed limit sign.
Yeah,
there's no speed limit signs.
Oh, I said, man, that seems weird. That's way too high.
Going west, there is right down, if you come out of South Sioux.
That's 55.
Yeah, I just assumed it was 55 the whole way.
But nothing coming east, right?
No.
Take it to 45.
And even 55 through there, you know, if somebody's doing 55, 60, it's just too fast, you know, for the curves and just, you know, I think it's too fast.
Actually, I drive right up about 40.
Yeah.
And the road still runs, yeah.
I'll
have to drive
that road again, Larry.
All right. Then, Jolene, you'll initiate that then? Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to approval of a traffic study on lowering the speed limit on Old Highway 20 from Martin's Airfield west to Elgin Avenue.
Okay. I'll second that. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. All right, item F, approved Dakota Dixon interlocal agreement to share veteran service officer for period of July 1, 2022 to June
30,
2023.
Did we already approve this?
No.
Did something change?
We approved raising the cost.
And they agreed.
So now it's coming back to sign.
Oh, okay.
So just approved chair and sign.
So they didn't change anything. They're still going to pay their half. Okay.
I'll make a motion, Bob.
They increase their half.
Okay.
Right.
Or not their half, but
their portion.
Their share to 23, what was it?
2775.
Kim's got it right. I don't remember.
Oh,
you knew that, didn't you?
$22,775.
Okay. I'll second Scott's motion.
All right. Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve the agreement with Dixon County for the Veteran Service Officer. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, item G, board to discuss, approve or not approve the proposed changes to the comprehensive master agreement between Sheriff Deputies Fraternal Order of Dakota County Police Lodge 49 and Dakota County for July 1, 2021 to June 30, 2025.
Sounds nice, doesn't it, 2025? Sounds nice.
Yeah.
Joan, I appreciate that meeting.
Were both of the item G and H, were both of them already were signed? Were they signed? You guys have the signed
contract? Do we have a signed agreement now?
Over a little while ago.
Okay.
Just before the meeting.
Okay, that's good.
So we just need a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
All right.
Second.
Motion by Troy, seconded by Larry to approve the proposed changes to the comprehensive agreement between sheriff deputies and Dakota County.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
And item H is board to discuss, approve or not approve the proposed changes to comprehensive master agreement between Correctional Officers Fraternal Order of Police Dakota County Lodge 49 and Dakota County for July 1, 2021 to June 30, 2024.
That one was signed as well. Because one of them had to elect somebody new, didn't they?
Yep.
Or they could sign.
Yep. And they did.
Okay.
Right. So moved.
Second.
Moved by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve. Call the roll, please.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. Item I is approved memorandum of understanding regarding the use of AMPLA fund between the county and Nebraska Crime Commission regarding the use of online federal and state grant management system for the purpose of receiving juvenile diversion grant funding.
They just changed the grant program and they want an agreement.
Okay, online program is still part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the way we, the administration part of it.
Yep.
Okay. We don't have to pay for it, though.
No. Right.
So moved, Bob.
Thank you.
Second.
Moved by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve that agreement. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Yeah.
Troy.
Yes.
Okay, item J, appoint a part-time seasonal weed superintendent. Just FYI, we thought we had somebody, but that did not come to fruition. So we are still looking for a weed superintendent. So if you know anybody, we need to get somebody and make an appointment there or get somebody going yesterday. So we'll continue I did talk to somebody else today that there was just a slight interest. But anyway, we don't have anybody to appoint, so we will just...
Excuse me, is that job posted to appoint?
It was in the Star, Doug. Would you like to start?
What does the job entail?
We'll talk later. It's anyway. Thank you. So we'll talk after. But I don't have any, or we don't have anybody to appoint at this time. So we will move on then to approve projects with money from the American Rescue Plan relief funding. So I guess this will just open it up for comments, discussions, et cetera, on the ARPA funds, things we haven't done.
To be continued, I would think.
We haven't done a lot. Don, did you want to talk about something of ARPA related? I wasn't sure where.
No, my concern was just the
Oh, okay.
I don't have my paperwork that I turned.
Okay. All right, so if we don't have any, I do have, I don't know whether it's ARPA or under committee, so I reached out to Thompson Electric, but I don't think it's electric anymore. It's somebody else, and I have their bid for, I think one of the things that I would like to do to get us slowly into the 21st century here at the courthouse, along with our new phone system, is key fobs for the doors. So it does a couple things. It gets the, you know.
Put that every second. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 19, right?
Yeah. You get the everybody has, or the people that need access will have that. You don't have to carry around keys. We can program those to automatically lock, open at 8, close at 4:30. Things like that. We looked at these all doors here on the main floors, this floor, five of them, health door, post office door, that one little back door, the two front two doors here. The sheriff, the jail already has, I think, key fobs, so they're not in the mix. But this estimate,
probably should keep it confidential because you should get a couple more required, right? To get a couple bids.
Mm-hmm.
A couple more quotes. You don't have to bid it out, but you should get a couple more
quotes. All right. So we won't then discuss prices. But anyway, I just think that's something that we could do.
Now, if an individual has the key fob, can you tell who comes and goes?
Oh, I think it'll.
I would think so.
I think it'll tell you everything.
So you can tell who's access in the building or who's fobby access.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, just so we can pursue it. Anyway, in my opinion, we can pursue it. We'll get some other bids and go forward. And if anybody else has any other suggestions on courthouse, and I know there are other things that we're looking at.
Well, another thing that I've been kind of over the last couple of years, you know, once we inquired the old fire department for the road department, etc., that building needs to be painted and upkept a little bit. And I've said something even last year, you know, about it being painted. It was going to get painted, but it's a nice building and it's going to hell in a handbasket. It needs to be painted and you know, match the courthouse, etc., and whatever you want to do, paint it purple paint, but it don't matter. But something needs to happen to the building because it don't look good.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if you agree or disagree.
No,
I
do, and I just wanted to share with this group also. I'm glad you brought that up, Scott, because I've asked different things of different people, whether they're and I think they're all elected officials. Things I've asked for, whether it's estimates for painting or things like that, and I haven't heard back on some of those. And I'm more than willing, like with this key fob thing, to pursue those things. But if I ask you to do something, as somebody on the board or an elected official, you know, do it. Or tell me you don't have time, and I'll do it, or Joan will do it, or Kim will do it.
Are you implying something?
Not really. But I need to know. I need to know.
Break.
I mean, we have a lot of. There's a lot of things that could be done, in my opinion, to the courthouse. Yet, outside, inside, things like that we could do. So anyway, just I'll leave it at that.
As far as painting
artwork,
you say?
Yes.
I talked to him with water painting.
Uh-huh.
The other, whatever it was. Is that for outside, I mean for interior, but not our offices? Or?
Well, that initially, that's just for the main now, Dawn. I mean, that could move to the main floor.
Okay.
That could change, expand, you know. Because it is the ARPA are one-time funds, but I don't want to say we're only going to paint the courthouse one time in our lifetime, but we may.
Your lifetime.
My lifetime, yeah.
If you need some help with some of that stuff, Bob, I'd be happy to help with.
Okay.
Like a paint chips or artwork or whatever.
All right. Okay, so then let's go to then L, which is approve Federal Marshals amended contract. We don't have one, right, Joan?
No, we didn't get one.
We have not heard anything back from the last conversation you were involved in. So, so and then M is kind of a moot point as well. I mean, we can't move forward if we don't have any information on the jail. So, Dawn, did you want to add now under that jail?
I had some copies that, being the treasure that we printed off from our funds that we have in our office that the county has. Coming from a treasure standpoint, the revenue that we do receive from the feds really help the county float. And if the jail does not go through, it will be difficult, to say the least, for us to be able to maintain the healthy accounts we would desire to. Not that we would be destitute, but I'm just saying that from a treasurer, I haven't said anything through the whole process of all of this going on, but financially it would be to the benefit of the county to and the citizens of the county to approve the jail situation coming from a treasurer standpoint.
If it cash flows.
Pardon?
If it cash flows. If it doesn't cash flow.
But why not take the chance? If it does, I mean, what other revenue do we have, Troy, to make money for the county? You know, the feds are going to pull their business out. I have something here just from July 1st of 19 to May 22nd. You know, you guys have the same information. You can see in black and white, you know, what's going to happen. And they're going to take their business and go elsewhere. And we're going to be sitting here. And the rest of this, all of us citizens here within the county, down the road are going to have to pay for a jail because our jail is sitting here depreciating day by day and we aren't going to have the funds to do anything. So that's just my two cents and I just thought I have kept quiet all the time and I just thought if we printed off copies of what we have, maybe that would help reinforce some.
I think the cost structure, I mean, I appreciate this, Dawn, but the cost estimates annually to run the jail, utilities, maintenance, and staffing would be $1.5 to $2 million a year, which is way more than the revenue stream. I mean, that's the concern because the cost escalated from 10-11 to almost 30% to 14 million now, so it doesn't cash flow anymore.
Because you guys waited too long to make a decision.
Well, the good news is, Dawn, the good news is that it's not dead yet.
And I appreciate that.
We haven't got I guess the ball's in their court. We talked to them. Janet was involved in the last conversation we had. So it's not dead yet. We haven't heard back from them, but I don't know if that's good news or not. But it's not dead yet.
Well, I appreciate that. And coming from a financial standpoint, I just wanted to reiterate what has been with Joan's paperwork that she has printed out to and things on how things are going financially wise.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Commissioner Committee report. Scott, anything for us?
I don't think I have anything this time.
No? Okay. Janet?
No, I don't have any.
Okay, Larry.
That's on tomorrow night.
You know, I'm going to be sick. That thing will last till 10-11 o'clock.
Oh yeah, it'll be dark.
I might as well go just to make an appearance and then get sick while I'm there.
Do you have to go pick up the kids?
Yeah, I'll do that too. So
yeah.
I'll bother with you later.
Anything else, Larry?
This letter.
Oh.
It was in my packet about the fence.
Yeah, under mail.
We'll do that under mail. Troy?
Nothing.
I don't have anything either, so we will go then to mail and our emergency business. So we have the letter from the gentleman about the fence that everybody has that had that issue with that fence. So Troy said he would. Troy, maybe I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, I can. Do you have his phone number? Does anybody have his phone
number? I don't, but didn't you have it on one of those previous letters, maybe?
So what happened, basically?
Well, we wrote him a letter that we wanted him to remit an invoice for his fencing material.
Yep.
And that how does the county, we wanted $1,000.
Yep.
And we said, show us an invoice. And he said,
give us a receipt.
He basically said he didn't, what did he say, he doesn't.
Over the years, you used up, you had gathered up over the years with different invoices, the way I took it, the way I understood it.
This just happened. I mean,
we can't get restitution in court without a receipt.
Right,
so.
We can't get
So
why would the board be
said
any different?
He had no receipt.
Right. So we've tried to.
Most farmers who put in fencing keep track of their expenses. I mean, I don't.
Is this something NERMA should be asked about or not?
I don't think it rises to that level. I think a conversation with Commissioner Lonsby would be our next logical step.
What are you
going to? I'll just drive. I haven't looked at the fence he put up anyway, so I'll just drive out by there.
And check out the fence and kind of see what kind of fence it is.
See if he's around.
Yeah, it's 50 yards.
Probably 50.
Of
fence. Have you drove out by there?
The way I've known it once.
How far is it, Larry, then?
He went right north. He re-reading his old fence, brought it up to standard or better. Curved to the north, so the gravel goes east and west. You know, down across the creek and over to off to the left down that way.
Maybe time, you know, maybe just.
He had more labor involved in the material.
Yeah, he could maybe estimate his time.
But I guess I wouldn't want to go build that fence for him for $1,000. It wasn't any much of a fence.
Just a lot of time.
Time, and then down below they got a kind of cattle thing so the cattle can't get up the creek.
So anyway, we'll keep.
I'm gonna drive out.
Okay, we'll keep trying to, you know.
And the other thing, the other letter I was gonna bring up on the board of equalization is just Nebraska Tax Equalization Review Commission shows findings and orders as no show for cause hearing. I will copy this out and send it to you. I just got it right before the meeting. So the level of residential class of property is 93% of the actual fair market. Commercial is at 94% of actual fair market. Ag is at 71% of the actual fair market, and they are in Dakota County, and they are satisfied with that. So I'll I got this ready for the meeting, so I'll send that out to you guys so that you can have those figures.
Satisfaction.
All righty. Yeah. Thank you. With that, we are adjourned.
Are you sure?
I think so. I think so. I got to get a hold of this Doug Tondry guy to get out of here.